Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello. First up, thanks for listening. I love you for it. Please tell people about this podcast everywhere and rate, review and subscribe. And if you've got any spare dough, as in money, I'm on this wicked site called Patreon, where for various monthly amounts from as tiny as $2, I swap you exclusive hoovering related rewards. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. Thank you, sorry, thank you. Let's have a podcast, please. This week's guest is my dear, dear friend, Hattie Ashdown. She wrote a sitcom called Give Out Girls, you might have seen on Sky a wee while ago, with your friend and mine, Carrie Ad Lloyd, in it. Anyway, she has me around hers in Bexley. I sort the mains and she sorts the pud. She's got half a stone of baby in her tum, who, when this goes out, is probably being born as you listen. That's exciting. We share everything from lovely pee memories to more harrowing ones of being teenagers who got into the wrong crowds, by which I mean slimming clubs. We're upfront, as per, about some of the quite extremely disordered eating we did then, and how worried we are about doing the best on that front as parents now. I learn what EVAP is. And listen out for my super cool, shit-hot, money-saving tip about lentils. I'm so cool. Sometimes I worry I'm maybe too cool.
That's a good noise. Oh, here we go. If only it was Prosecco.
Sounds like it. At least it sounds like. From far away, it sounds like we're having half a pint of Prosecco.
Yeah.
From the duration of the pour.
I love your gorgeous candles. Get them.
Oh, look at this wonky bonky.
I like them.
From the sun, I think.
Leaning candles of Welling.
Yeah. Look at that.
Stop taking pictures now. Do you want any?
Ooh, so, what's this?
I'll tell you what we're having, Hats.
Yeah, go on, please.
Asta's finest pouch of pearl barley whole grains and quinoa.
Yes.
Quinoa. And then I've made ratatouille because I have loads of tomatoes and a couple of green peppers off my old box. And then it's got aubergine courgettes as well and a load of green lentils in it. And I've got a trick, with a tip.
Yeah.
That I didn't follow a recipe, I've made it up. But so it could be horrid. I've got work to do, by the way, if you're listening to this, because last time I brought lunch around for Hattie, I made a soup that was baby friendly, I think, but it was one of the blandest.
I thought it was yummy.
It wasn't. It was liquid dust.
Like something that would.
It looks awful.
Come up on Friday night. But it tasted yummy.
But yeah, I stuck lentils in this because I want it to be way more filling. But there's loads of recipes for stuff like this, and they always want you to use poi lentils.
Poi.
Them.
Yeah.
And apparently, and they're always really expensive, and that's because they have to come from the Puy region of France to be called that. But Sainsbury's, and I'm sure all the other supermarkets, just do one called lentil vert, like just dark green lentils.
Right.
They're exactly the same. And they hold their shape much nicer than red ones.
And then what's this that I want
to... Oh, so do you want to try this?
That you've
it's
got?
Called... Real vegans call it nooch.
Right.
It's called nutritional yeast. Because one of the things you don't get enough of if you're completely vegan...
Yeah.
...is B12. And it's got that in it. So it's like... Have a little taste of it. It looks like fish flakes. But it's like umami flavour, a bit cheesy.
I do feel like I'm putting on my fishy's food.
Looks like fish food, doesn't it?
Oh, it's bringing back memories of overfeeding my fish. And then finding
and
them all dead.
Them.
Floating on the top. And we're drinking...
Yeah.
Freshly squeezed lemonade.
Freshly squeezed lemonade by Belvoir.
By Belvoir, it's lovely.
From that snazzy deli in Ladywell, mate.
I love ratatouille. I think that was one of the first things that my now husband cooked me, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, and I was ever so impressed.
Your now husband has just gone upstairs with his lunch, which is two fish finger sandwiches. Do you think he'd be mortified? There's nothing better than a fish finger sandwich, I reckon.
Have you? Oh. I haven't tried the vegetarian ones, which are...
Yeah, they're all right.
They're all right. I haven't tried them.
I was tempted to try, like, a vegetarian or a vegan version of something like that and then make a coleslaw to go with it. I will do it at some point, but I think frozen is the way to go, weirdly, with that stuff. Those ones that are really expensive in budgins and in, like, health food shops... I don't trust them. I've had so many terrible, terrible experiences getting there.
Wow.
Vegan nuggets and stuff. You're better off sticking to corns.
Yeah, but they're not vegan.
Some corn chicken nuggets are.
Are they? Mmm. You heard it here.
I heard it here. What do you think of the fish flakes? Can you hardly taste them?
I can hardly taste them. But then... Do you think it's because I am vegetarian, I'm not vegan?
Yeah.
I'm not there yet.
So you're still used to the power of real cheese?
Yeah.
I think it's better than nothing, but it's comparison to cheese. We should mention that you're extremely pregnant right now. How's that going? What's that been like, especially in terms of eating stuff?
So this is all very good for me. So I'm 36 weeks.
Woohoo!
Whatever that means. People who don't know, I don't really know.
That means any day now, basically,
I think, yeah, I'm fully cooked. Yeah. He's well cooked, this baby. Eating-wise, you probably know this, but the question you get asked is, are you having any cravings?
Yeah.
And but it's a myth, isn't it? It's a myth, the whole craving thing. I'm sure I did a bit of reading on it last time, and there's a lot of controversy whether it's an actual myth. Read up maybe before this goes out.
Well, no, I mean, I'm fascinated. I've never heard that it's a myth before. Might well be. I'm always craving things. I craved things during pregnancy.
Yeah, but I just think you...
I always crave things.
I think you just fancy stuff.
Yeah.
And where you normally wouldn't allow yourself to have a bit of coal, when you're pregnant, you do. No, I mean... it's just... You know, I'm terrible for sweet stuff, chocolate, ice cream. Mm. But normally you go, no, I better not. But when you're pregnant, you do, even though obviously you're not really meant to be eating for two, you just can't help it. You're like, especially if you've got pains and that, you're just like, allow myself. Allow it, as the kids say. But today, I must admit, I was asked in a little fun quiz at my baby shower, what was anything you're craving? And I was like, actually, one thing that is a bit weird for me is beer. Because I'm not a big beer drinker.
No, you never have a pint.
So, but then
you have white wine.
Yeah, or red wine, or purple, green, don't care, just love wine. Which is your phone's come on.
Zombie phone coming to life.
But obviously I'm having non-alcoholic beer.
Okay. Oh, that funny then that you're into beer, hops and malty flavour.
Must be something to do with the yeast or something. Yeah. That I'm craving. There you go, I've just contradicted myself. But anyway.
It's quite minerally. I think it's often, when I was pregnant, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I craved very undercooked steak. I just wanted bloody meat. And I'd gone vegetarian before that. But I don't, I think I'd eat meat again. Well, if I had that again like that, if I have had another.
Oh, no, I didn't, I went more vegetarian. I was almost vegan the first, as in, didn't want milk.
Right.
I mean, I've got all the non-dairy milk in now. Really? Because I still have, I'm like, ugh, no, the thought of it.
A bit queasy about it.
No eggs, no milk.
Really? Like,
no fish. Oh, the smell of fish. So I'm almost, yeah, vegan. So
did you manage cheese?
Probably a bit, yeah.
but not like usual, cheese.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
That is weird.
Yeah, this baby wants beer.
This baby's on a stag do already. That is funny.
And this, chips, but
this baby wants beer. I remember with Hux, you were like, carbs, please, carbs. Carbs and cheese and chips.
Yeah, I did go through the carb bit again. But I think that comes from, because I have the bad sickness and I had it even worse this time. Like with Hux, it was not as bad, but this time it was a lot worse.
Was it?
I won't go into it because you're eating.
No, I don't care. Tell me about it.
But as in,
also, Hux, I've wolfed mine, I've siphoned it in.
I just felt a bit sick, whereas this time I was actually being sick. And it lasted longer. So I think once that had gone, it was like carbs. And even when I was feeling sick, the carbs settle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just need something filling and filling and basic, undemanding on you, don't you?
Yeah, like, I lived soothing. On cornflakes. Apparently, my sister, she had the same thing when she was pregnant. She just want cold, well, I say cold milk, but non-dairy.
Yeah. What's your favourite of those?
It depends. With the cereal, I don't mind. I'd have almond, coconut, oat milk, but probably not oat milk, especially if I'm having porridge.
I can't bear oat on oat or nut on nut. It's
wrong, isn't it? But
I don't want an almond milk on a muesli with nuts in. I don't want an oat milk on a porridge.
But oat milk in tea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tea and coffee, I think. But coconut's quite nice in coffee. What do you think?
I'm an oat in coffee and tea, ideally. And oat in hot drinks. And then almond and everything else. And I've, like an absolute snoot bag, developed a taste for an ever so slightly more expensive one that's almond milk that's unroasted.
Ooh.
And it tastes even more almondy. And I think that's the thing for me. I don't, with the oat milk in hot drinks, it really successfully pretends to be milk.
Yeah, it does.
It's creamier sometimes.
Not like the rice milk.
You get it in a, shit idea. Who's still buying soya milk?
Oh, yeah. It's not good for your tummy, which doesn't agree with my IBS. There you go, listeners.
I know. I want to know all of this.
I've had IBS since I was about 14.
Have you?
And my first boyfriend used to call it irritable bitch syndrome.
Did he? He sounds like a charming man.
He is actually a very nice man.
Oh, is he? Oh, damn.
He's very, very funny. He made a good living out of it.
Oh, really? Oh. Bollocks.
You know him. No, but he was right. It used to... Anyone who knows as a sufferer, it's just... You either get where you can't go or you go a lot. And if you get the one where you can't go, awful. It really does just make you such a bad mood. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, you can't put any clothes on. And,
awful.
You know, it's horrible.
I've just done a tiny, tiny part. Felicity Ward's just done a four-part series, Radio 4, where the idea is she solved four of her problems with an app. And then... did four different apps. I think the voices is four different apps, but the one I just did is IBS. Like, you can get apps for IBS.
Oh, wow!
To like track your bloody food diaries and stool trackers, all of this stuff. Ah. But it was very funny. But I learned a lot as well.
What do you suffer?
I don't think so. I don't know. I think potentially, if it's the sort of thing where you can have it on a spectrum and you don't like have it and not have it. As an adult, I had lots and lots of problems. Not all the time. But yeah, I think I definitely flirted with IBS, but would never to the point where it was enough of a thing for me to go to a doctor and get a diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I could always normally chart it to an extent to things like stress, how much I'm boozing, how much I'm sleeping, all that stuff that you had so much more control over before you had a kid. Yeah. So I think it was, if I was doing the Edinburgh Festival from about May, I'd have nightmares, like little random day terrors, the most disturbing dreams, and really bad tummy. Normally can't go rather than too much, but also piles. We were talking about that before we cracked on. We've gone straight in for the filthy, sexy stuff. But really obvious, intense physical signs of anxiety and stress. But it's not that I'm doing less stressful stuff now, but that is the one thing that going vegan-ish sorted it right out. I haven't had an issue since.
Well, probably the dairy, some people do say.
Might be dairy for me then.
If you start to think you've got it and you go to the doctors, don't let them they give you this fibre gel stuff.
Oh, God.
And all it does is clog you up more, well, it did me anyway. And I was just like, oh, that's stupid. It's just about getting the balance.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot you can do, isn't there, with lifestyle stuff. I'm obviously better if I'm being sensible on the sleeping and boozing front as well.
Yeah, boozing.
What about growing up, my love? You were the youngest, weren't you, of a batch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Batch of eggs.
Batch of women, all women.
All women. Four girls.
Four girls. I'm having some more.
Do it.
And you can help
yourself. What he needs is a glass of red wine.
It does, doesn't it? It's quite meaty, isn't it?
It's cool. The lentils make it quite... meal.
Isn't it just?
Mm.
It's because it tastes a bit French, do you think? Or those tangy tomatoes. Mm. Or big, salty, fleshy aubergines.
Yeah, four girls. I'm the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, where do I start on the food? If that's what you want to know.
What did you have? Who cooked in your house, if anyone?
Mum, dad, bless him, not a thing. Even when different times when mum was ill or having me in hospital or whatever, because of this big age gap, so they were grown up. You know, they all did it.
Siblings were growing up. Yeah.
They would cook breakfast for dad and
stuff
like that, you know, for proper old fashioned.
Where'd you grow up?
In Kent.
Yeah.
Delightful Swanley. Which then we moved to a village called Longfield when I was a teenager. But, I have to say my mum, God bless her, very basic cook.
Mm.
She fell into that typical 1970s curry thing where it was very bland, but I loved it. I remember
did you
peas round the side and the edge, you know.
So I've never heard of this. You make like a very mild korma curry
type thing. She didn't call it that, she just called it curry.
Yeah. Rice under though,
and then so a circle of rice around and then a peas.
I love it. That sounds cool.
She also did that with spaghetti bolognese.
What, put peas round the edge? What, she put the bolognese in the middle?
So you do the pasta, spaghetti? Then dollop.
Okay.
Yeah, pasta, dollop.
Standard. Up to this point.
Grated cheese on top.
Yeah, standard.
And then the peas round the... Yeah, she had a crazy thing with peas. My husband would say that's carried on, because I still go, oh, I need some peas with this meal. I do love peas.
But do you put them in the normal, like mixed in?
Sometimes.
No, you put them around the edge.
Sometimes.
I want to come round for peas around the edge.
Yeah, another time I'll do a Hattie speciality.
Brilliant.
When I was younger, my mum said she took me to the doctors because all I would eat was potatoes.
I like the sound of young you.
Took
the doctors. What did the doctor say?
He went, I think she'll be alright. There's vitamin C in there. So I was just eating mash, chips, rice, with peas.
I've got a little brother and half brother and sister on my dad's side that. My brother especially, mainly him, but he was like that. He would just eat... He ate everything until he was about 18 months, I think, and then it just stopped. And I think, till he was 15, he just ate roasties, Yorkshires, smiley faces, carrots, which is why he's not dead, and polos.
Just for the...
Who knows? He's just really into polos and extra strong mints. Just not back. He didn't even like chocolate, the pervert.
Oh, I'm scared that Huxley's going the same way because he just loves. Yeah, very bland food. I'm not really trying, but actually, I haven't even tried. I'm just sick of making something and then it just sitting there and. Yeah, I don't know about you, but it's very hard. Like, me and Alex talk about this a lot. Like, we talk about the relationship. I feel this massive responsibility of the relationship that he's going to have with food.
With eating.
And I'm, touch wood, I think I came away not. You know, I did later on have eating problems, but it was more to do with the control thing than the food. I know I had friends that were like, had eating problems because of their the way their mum and dad made them eat, whether it was like, you got to finish your meal, all that kind of thing. And now they've got this issue of like, don't put too much on my plate and all this.
Oh, really?
People like, I know people like, but my eating problem just came through my dad dying and grief, and just that's the way I handled it was.
How old were you when your dad died then?
14.
Oh my God.
So I was like, let's lose some weight, that's something I can control. But I don't think I had any warped, you know, relationship with food. My mum and dad were very old fashioned in the kind of like treats for a Friday or a Saturday morning. Dad would take me to the pet shop, and then afterwards, well, he sent me to the pet shop, and then he'd get me a cake because he nipped in the bookies, you see.
Really?
Yeah.
I had exactly the same thing.
Did you?
Every Saturday morning, my dad worked away in the week. Every Saturday morning, we'd walk into town together via the sweet shop, get stacked right up with tons of chocolate, and then we'd sit together in this cafe, have a coffee, and then at the end, he'd order me a sausage roll, and I'll stand outside Ladbrokes with it. For like an hour and a half, like an actual dog. I remember the beaded curtain.
Oh, yeah.
I'd stand there for ages. He'd give me pocket money, but it's all bribes, really. And I'd spend pocket money on stationery and terrible little objet d'art.
But did you mind? Object.
No, I didn't mind at all.
I didn't mind.
I did, and then he got home, trough chocolate all day while he watched the races on the telly. And I did mind that sometimes if I piped up, he'd be like, shh, the race is on.
Right. Yes, that's true.
But I feel like it's sort of thing you look back at and go, if anyone admitted that now, that would look like.
Yeah, it's awful. But all I remember was going to see the parrot in the pet shop and, like, talking to the parrot and getting him
and the cake.
Cream bun.
Sweet, sweet cake.
But yes,
what age did you do that up until then?
Gosh, I mean, it must have been, like, 5 till 10, say, something like that. I don't know.
Love it.
But, yeah, well, I mean, he was like, so they were very old-fashioned, you know, we had meat and two veg and your dessert. I don't remember a massive kind of, like, you must eat that all before you get dessert. I think mum was quite good with all that. But it's interesting that, and I don't think my sister and mine were the same, but because he'd be quite old-fashioned and ration-y with, so if he'd get, like, a Mars bar, which seemed massive then, it's that cliche, he would chop it up, you know, and have a little side. And I have fond memories of that and kind of like that, kind of like, this is a treat. And my sister's opposite. She feels that sort of upbringing made her want to kind of have more of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Rebel and have her choose for herself how much.
Yeah, but it's interesting that we took different angles of it. I mean, you know, I'm still known to gorge, which I feel like I get from my mum. But in the sense of, like, especially when you become a mum.
Yeah.
I now find myself like her in the kitchen, where I remember seeing her, because she ain't got time to sit down and eat with us. She's there in the kitchen, you know, at the pan.
Yeah. And gosh, I had a spoonful of this out of the pan before I left.
I think it's just
a And then I went, what are you doing? And then I had a second spoonful and I went, Jess, you're about to have a pre-lunch.
Oh.
So I just stuck it in a... I'd already siphoned some off into a Tupperware for Rude
Boy. I think you're mum, you're allowed.
I think you're allowed. But also it's that I'm just a hypocrite. Mikey stands up at the kitchen side and eats there, which is like, I know you're not thinking about what you're eating. I know you're not, you know, it's just, and it, something about it, I look at it and think, oh, I hate it. You know, I hate you standing up there. Sit down. Take a minute.
Yeah.
And then I do it.
That's the old Weight Watchers thing, isn't it? I remember going to that and they're like...
And really, do they say you've got to sit down?
Yeah, you're not... Because it's all in the mind, ladies. So if you just, you know, put it on a plate and sit down, it's making events. You know, if you stand at the fridge, you know... I don't know why they're northern, but...
I was going to say, did you attend Weight Watchers in Lancashire?
Yeah. I only went once.
Did you go to one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was at a period when, I think if I'm right, it was just after an ex-boyfriend of mine, and we had a good life. We ate out a lot.
Yeah.
And I felt like I'd put on so much weight. And I just needed something to get me on track, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't go for very long. I just sort of got what I needed to know and...
Scarpered.
Yeah.
I went once with my mum's best friend to Slimming World.
Yeah.
That's probably about 16.
They're the better one, I think, now. People say. Just they're very much about, you know,
I've got friends and family doing either. Oh, they're more about cooking. Well, also, they used to have, I don't know if they still used to have, really unhelpful language about sins and treats and
green food and stuff like that.
But I remember I went once with Mo, one of my mum's best friends, and we just got the giggles, really. And we realised we were meant to have bought a piece of fruit every week. Everyone was meant to bring up a piece of fruit. You stick it all in a scabby basket, and whoever's lost the most weight that week as a reward gets everybody's skankiest apple put together in a basket as your prize.
Oh, no!
And we hadn't brought our fruit, so the woman running it hated us straight off that. We went back one week later, and I just hadn't done it. I'd lost half a pound. And I think, God, this is awful, and I don't know where it's come from as a memory, but I remember feeling inclined before I went to make myself puke, and then thought, this isn't right for me.
No.
Let's not go to this. Because your inclination with those weekly things, I think, is to eat fuck all the day of the weighing.
That's the thing, isn't it? I know I'm not going to say who, but I know people that like, go, oh, well, you know, we won't have dinner, we'll go, and then we'll come back and have dinner. And I just think, that's not the right mentality. It's got to be measuring you as the you want to be for the rest of your life sort of thing. But everyone does it.
I've got to the point now where at the moment, and it's always changing, but I weighed myself the other day for the first time in months, and I can't bear it. It's not for me doing it on weight.
Oh, I haven't weighed myself for years.
Yeah. It does absolutely nothing good for me in the coconut, knowing what I weigh.
No.
I can see and I can know how I feel and how I look.
Yeah.
And clothes feel, and how much exercise you're doing.
I don't know how much weight I put on. You know, most people say, oh, I put on 3 stone when I was pregnant. I was like, oh, if they asked to weigh me, I'd just look away.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I did when I was pregnant, no thanks. They weighed me, I think, at 8 weeks. And I was like, oh, fuck, why did I look at that?
Yeah.
And that was at 8 weeks. Before I had 8 pounds of nearly ready human boy in my tum-tum like you've got.
Say scrum-diddly-umptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrum-diddly-umptious.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
A few things you said have made me want to ask more about.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you would have like meat and two veg and a pud.
Mm-hmm.
So would you, because we never had puddings, so do you have puddings? And when you say mum wasn't an adventurous cook or whatever, but did she cook you something for tea every night?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so, yeah, she was, what she
did. And did you have a pud? What sort of puds did you have? Because we never had puds, so I'm always particularly fascinated by this.
God, a lot of it would be like banana and custards.
Mm. Oh, nice. I've never had that.
Yeah.
Or just a banana chopped up with some custard.
Yeah, that's what came from my nan. My nan used to do that as well. I think my nan would put a bit of sponge in it. That's delicious.
Oh, hello.
Like jam roly-poly sponge. Oh. I think mum would do just like, you know, a bit of fruit cocktail and stuff like that. A bit evap. Do you know evap?
What's evap?
I'm not sure if that's the stuff style of cream or the make, but it's like tinned milk, isn't it?
Oh, evaporated milk.
Yeah. But we called it
EVAP. I've never had it called EVAP. I've never, ever... Is it condensed milk? Is that the same thing?
Yes.
I've never, ever heard of it, let alone tasted it, until I lived in my student shared house, the last one and the longest one, with my still dear friend Claire, who's from Motherwell. And she is a big fan. And we'll just have a little tiny pot of it with a teaspoon.
Yeah.
I'm sure she won't mind
me saying. And my sister have said before, I would rather have it than cream.
Yeah. I think if you're into it, you're really into it. It's sweet, right?
It's quite sweet, yeah. But that's the thing. Sometimes cream can be too sweet, and this is delicious. That was a big family staple. All got EVAP, and it's not that expensive, you see.
Oh, yeah, and you've seen a tin, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were all well on a budget.
Were you growing up?
Yeah, quite a budget, I would say.
With four of you.
But you'd never, you know, never went without.
Yeah. There was always enough to eat.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh... A big loaf of bread, and you've got to, you know, in these old films, I always think there's like a massive loaf of bread. Basically, that's just to fill the kids up, isn't it? Because they've got much money. So I can't think. Oh God, my sister's going to be shouting at the radio now. If it was on radio, but you know what I mean. Because I can't think of it. I've gone a blank on all the desserts. I can only think of ones when it was a treat, which would be
banana
like
banana and custard is
cheesecake. No, but you know the homemade. Dad, she was terrible. She'd get the packet one. The packet cheesecake.
Nice. What, like Sara Lee or whatever they're called?
Yeah. Stuff like that. Oh, I love that. Yeah, but it wouldn't be every night. It wouldn't be like a heavy one. It might just be...
Fruit salad.
Bit of fruit salad or whatever. But I remember going round friend's house, because I lived in a crescent, and there was one friend to the left and another friend to the right.
That's nice.
So, yeah, it was nice. And they're both very different.
Really?
And I always say that, like, when I went round... one friend's house, it'd be like, oh, Claire's mum, because she's always on a diet, you just get offered yoghurt, you know. And then I went around Jackie's house, they would have a soda stream, they had run of the hat, like she could just get chocolate or whatever she wanted out the cupboard.
Wow.
And my mum was sort of somewhere in between, you know.
Right, yeah.
Like,
sensible sounding.
Yeah. I think she had a good relationship with food.
Your mum?
Yeah, she was brought up in the... She was sort of child of the war, just.
Right.
So you were, you know, told to appreciate your food. So,
yeah, so. Totally.
But,
That's good.
Yeah.
I think. And I think there's more than... from what I've heard, I mean, it's all... Everyone's experience is so incredibly unique when it comes to these things. Like you're saying, you can have the same parenting and two siblings take totally different things from it. But I think, from what I've heard, there's another brilliant podcast called Food Psych. I think a dietitian or food psychologist talking to... It's a lot more sciencey than this, mate. I think that the difference between those extremities is... I mean, actually, it's not extreme to have your kid have free rein. It's only if the house is full of crap and you're being encouraged to have... sugary, salty, processed stuff. But I think there's potentially as much damage, it seems, in having a parent who's... It's not just the feeding of the yogurt instead of the thing the kids would love to have all the time. I think there's also just... And I've heard this from so many women I've spoken to, especially. But no, I'll just say, so many people I've spoken to, that seeing a parent be always on a diet is... as if not more damaging than being fed, you know, the diety food. Because you then get into this pattern. And that's the pressure that I feel with being a parent now as well, is this.
Right.
I don't want him to go through the years of ridiculous cyclical dieting that I did before I realised you could... Yeah, systematically connect a bit more with yourself. Sort of, it sounds contradictory, but connect a bit more with yourself and care a bit less about all that stuff, you know, like don't overanalyze it. I don't know.
But no, I feel very strongly about that, because I know lots of people have been definitely affected by their mums just constantly being on a diet, and it's sad, and I don't think the mum's really what they were doing.
The dad takes on the role of being like the secret treat giver, which in a way is just as unhelpful, because then you get this other message that happy, good, positive reward times involve secret eating and shit.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Bob, do it with raspberries.
I was going to get a vegan ice cream. I've had some delicious vegan ice cream the other day.
Join the coconut revolution.
Oh, look at those cute plates.
I just do it like that.
Coconut collaborative.
Let's do that.
It's a coconut collaborative.
Oh, she's got a best jar around the level.
Let's try and find this spoon that hasn't been damaged by the...
God, sod it.
Hey, do you like checkers or flowers?
Ooh, checker, please. Oopsie diddly.
A little bit of...
Do you find you say things like that since you had a kid?
Oh, diddly.
You're an adult. I say up a diddle, just in totally an adult company.
Yeah.
Up a diddle.
Up. Little whoopsie daisy.
Yes. Right, I'm going to join the coconut revolution. I don't know about you. I've asked you about 3 of my 30 questions. First, let's try this. I'm having it with a bit of raspberry. Mmm.
I should have done.
So we're having a...
Look at the packaging.
A coconut collective... Chocolate mousse, is it? Oh, you do get a little coconut aftertaste.
Little choc pots, it's called.
Little choc pots. We're having it with giant fresh raspberries.
Coconut cream.
Mm.
Dark chocolate soy. And loads of stuff I can't pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
Topica starch.
Tapioca.
That's it.
That's the one.
Dyslexics are ass.
Mmm, I like it. It's chocolatey.
Very chocolatey.
Mmm.
Again.
I think that's why the pots are so little. That's pretty intense. I'm a bit funny about coconut.
What are you funny about?
Well, I'm just a big hypocrite. Like, I love a fresh coconut. I love coconut milk and curries.
Mmm.
Don't mind the odd coconut latte. Hate bounties. Like desiccated coconuts.
Right. You are weirdo.
I know. And then sometimes, I think becoming veganish, when you're asked to put coconut oil in things where I don't want to taste coconut, I find that offensive too. I don't want coconut in every scenario.
Yeah, it can dominate.
Yeah.
Tell you about
but with this, it just sort of comes slowly back at the end, and that's fine.
My mum loved coconut, everything.
Did she?
She did a nice coconut sponge.
Mmm.
And then she'd love a coconut body wash. Oh, I love the smell of it, you know.
Did she?
Yeah.
Mmm. You said that you had a hard time with eating after your dad died, but what do you mean? Like not eating or puking or what?
Yeah, so I didn't puke.
Or overeating.
I just slowly reduced it.
Right.
As a control thing.
Did you get very, very underweight?
Yeah, very. Mum took me to the doctors again.
Oh.
This time, not eating potatoes. And they were a bit crap. They were just like...
Really?
You need to eat more toast in the morning. That was a bit about it. And yeah,
didn't acknowledge it as a mental health issue at all.
No, but even then it wasn't really that recognised. And yeah, I just thought it was a control thing. It's such a long story, but in short, basically... My dad had died, but it was a combination of that age of working out what you want to do at school with the GCSEs and everything. And I wasn't good at anything, or I didn't like anything that I was, I didn't think I was good at anything.
Yeah.
And suddenly it was like, you just start losing weight and people go, oh, you look good. Well, you know, like they do. And it's cliche, I know, but it was like, oh, well, this is something I can control.
Mm.
And I was sort of interested in acting and modelling. Yeah. But you know, I thought that's how you get into acting. It's just like you have to be a model.
It's one way in.
Yeah,
it is.
So I think I sort of like read some magazine articles like that sort of thing. Mm. And you just think, right, well, if I'm going to become an actress model, I've got to, and like it's the classic thing. Like Karen Carpenter, I think, similar. Like you read one thing, and she read that they described her as the chubby singer, didn't they?
Oh,
and that's it wasn't. I read anything about me, but I read somewhere like, oh, most models have a 27-inch waist or something like that. And I measured myself, and I was like, well, if I can get down to that, that's it. You know, it's silly little things you just grab onto.
But also, so, it's just so dark that, you know, you start getting a bit underweight and people start going, you look great. Because yeah. we've all just been fed that same
yeah.
idea that that's what we're...
I know.
As teenagers, we, my friends and I, we wouldn't say, oh, I want to lose weight. We'd say, I want to get anorexic.
Would you?
Mm. yeah. Such a sick joke.
God.
But we longed to be ill. My friend Maya, we were quite open, we all still are. You know, the idea of something, oh, have you not been well? Be like, yes!
Yeah.
And the opposite, to the point where someone goes, you're looking well, you think they think I'm fat.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I had friends that...
I love that hood hat, thanks.
Please have the other one. What are you thinking? Go on.
I'm just going to eat this one, every last drag of this one with my finger. In the pot. You have to have another one because you've got a baby in the oven and he's
and he's really it. Overweight, so I shouldn't be.
He's not overweight, he's just cooked. She's got 8 pounds of baby in her tum tum right
seven,
now.
Seven.
Seven, seven. Don't exaggerate, Jess. Don't exaggerate for comedy.
But, yes, yeah, so I just and then just got down to where I'd have, like, say, all I'd eat all day would be like an apple and bits of carrot or something like that, you know. I never got away at nothing, but there was, you know, I just
still
got,
you're not got much to I run got away on with apple carrot. Did yeah. you were you fainting?
No.
Did your period stop?
Yeah.
Fucking hell,
man. I think that's when I went, that was one of the things so cliche again, the doctor was like, if you carry on you won't be able to have children. And even though I was like, I don't want kids,
yeah,
it was still like a bit scary. Yeah, so...
How old are you then? Sorry, so that's 14.
So sort of from 15 to sort of 17, and 17 started to get better.
Mm.
And it's...
What did help you get better then if all those doctors were so shit?
It's terrible again, but I would say it was two things. It was going to college and loving college and finding drama that distracted me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like the first time in a long time you felt like you were... excelling at something. I want you to focus
on food. What am I going to eat today? I mean, you know, you did get to love the eat, writing stuff down and like what I haven't eaten and the buzz of like got away with not eating at that party or whatever. And it was just every day so boring. And I think I failed all my GCSEs because of it. Not because I didn't revise.
Yeah, but it sounds like
my brain was not like
you were very, very ill in
there. It was a fog, that GCSE time feels
if
like a fog.
If you're literally writing down times where you managed to get away with not eating, that's, you really were ill, my love.
Yeah. But no, I didn't have any doctors, just college, and I hate to say it, my boyfriend was a...
Sounds like a good un.
He was a good un, and he was, yeah, he didn't make me eat or anything, just... distracted me.
Yeah, just made you happy.
His loveliness.
Oh,
he was a shit sometimes as well. but yeah, it's just, that's what I think from both sides. People that I now know that have got eating problems, either side, either obese, whatever. I just think it's all about
how happy you are.
Interest finds so that the focus isn't on what you're eating every day.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't start a podcast all about eating.
No.
Have to think about it all the time.
But it's with you. That's sounding like a cliche. They say once a plate watcher, always a plate watcher. So
yeah.
It's always there. For sure. Like an alcoholic, I think.
Oh yeah, and that's exactly how I approach it. I think that's my booze.
Yeah.
So, you know, harness it.
Just embrace it.
That's the other thing, that talking to that nutritionist, dietitian woman, her answer was very satisfying, but it was like, you know how, like from my experience, like people who've had a lot of mental health issues are likely to become therapists, or social workers have often had very rough upbringings and in and out of care. You know, not all of them, but if you've had that experience and been helped by someone in that situation, you're more inclined to end up doing that job. And a lot of those nutritionists and dietitians have had issues or have issues. And I was like, of course.
And do you think that's because that's a way of maintaining it?
Well, maybe, I don't know. But also it's like, what are your interests? I'm obsessed with eating.
Obsessed with food now, isn't it? Yeah.
So complicated. I had a very similar but much, much shorter phase when I was younger as well, about 11, 12. And I can't believe I must have put two and two together before, but like, parents in separate bedrooms for years, and that's when they properly broke up when I was 11. but seemingly quite amicably.
Mm.
And I remember crying within 10 minutes of Mum telling me that's what was going to happen. And then never again. Never crying about it again.
No.
But then over the next year got very, very thin and would really enjoy it. Same, only having an apple a day.
Yeah.
And I had a few things snap me out of it. I fainted in a hairdresser's. I remember feeling really embarrassed. I remember going to hairdressers and going, realising I was going to faint and going up to them and saying, I'm so sorry, but I need to, can I rebook another time? She's like, yeah, do you want to book it? I said, don't feel very well. And she went, do you want to book it now? And I went, I can't do it now. I walked out and I must have blacked out, but I scraped my face all into the side of this wall. And it was the hairdressers in this little town, Swanage, where I grew up in Dorset, all these old people that lived in this, like, nice flats opposite. This hairdressers all peeking out their windows. Mm.
Oh, God.
Someone must have known someone who knew who I was, so they really? Knew my dad. He was so embarrassed. I can't remember, so hazy after that. But I remember a series of things like that making me eventually go. And a holiday with Mum and Dad, where I would just have a side salad every time we went out.
Yeah, holidays.
These incredible meals, and they would... Just seeing... I think eventually actually genuinely affected me seeing how much I was upsetting people.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that bothered... I never got that. I mean, it'll probably have been the thinnest ever got, and I still was never got that thing. You into cooking now, are you?
Cooking?
Yeah.
No.
Not really. Is it more of a chore than a pleasure?
Yeah, I think
You're a busy mum, working mum.
I think I've inherited, my mum was much better than me, but I think I've realised, now I'm older, is that I realised my mum, she didn't really enjoy cooking.
Mm.
And it's like, we just thought she was really basic cook, but we realised, like, looking back, we're like, oh, as we got older, she would get more and more like, oh, could we just go out to eat, or can we just get a takeaway? And it's like, but maybe it was just that she'd just had enough. It's like, she'd done it for years. But
four kids.
I've gone through phases in my life where I have liked cooking more, but I'd say, like, little bursts, like when, so Huxley was weaning and you're starting to get food, you're like, oh, getting into all these recipes and I'm going to whiz this up. And then I really want to be, I've got friends that, you know, that's their thing, to relax. Mm. And I'd love to be like that, but my mind just thinks, oh, I could be doing something else.
Really? Well, fair enough.
I like the, you know, so if we have a dinner party, Alex will probably cook.
Yeah, that's your husband.
Yeah, and I would like preparing, say, the salad and doing the pretty stuff and preparing the table and, you know, and a more maybe baker. So, not that I've even done that for a long time. I lost my confidence with a few things.
Did you?
Oh, trying to get carrot cake right. Oh,
I've got a vegan carrot cake recipe. Have you? It's nice.
The last one I did was just really wet.
That's no good.
It was like, too much oil, I think, in there. I did a cheesecake once for some friends, and they never said anything until like a couple of days later. They were like, yeah, it was sort of like eating a cloud. The flavour. I tried to do like the one in the oven.
Nice backhanded compliment, isn't it? Oh, like one of those baked New York cheesecakes.
I put too much flour. So I want to enjoy it, and I've got this dream that, you know, it's that thing, for, like, I guess a lot of people say, when I've got a bigger kitchen and when I've got more sideboards, I'm going to really get into it. And
surfaces. I need surfaces.
And I'd love to do a cookery course.
Like,
I think that would make me...
Well, I love them. I haven't done one for ages. It's silly to suggest it now because we're going to have a baby in about 3 days. But we should do it. We should do one in 6 months or whatever.
Yeah,
together.
Just for new ideas.
Go and do a nice evening somewhere. Let's do it.
Because that makes you like school.
Let's do that.
I'd love to.
When's your birthday?
March.
Mm. Oh, well, yeah. Well, that's about right then.
Yeah.
Bubba number two will be leaveable. Let's go and do a cooking course in March.
Yeah.
Or early or later than that, but let me do that for your next birthday present.
Oh,
Hermione.
Thanks.
Just quickly, what's your go-to thing? I know, obviously, you're not getting shit-faced at the moment because you've got a baby in the oven, but what's your go-to thing with a hangover, please?
Just carbs, just... First thing came to mind was waffles, isn't that terrible? Potato waffles.
Mm, yummy. With beans?
With beans.
Yes.
Yeah. If I'm really, really lazy, we'll be just beans on the waffle. Yeah, with cheese. Or the whole shebang. You know, veggie sausage.
Oh, nice.
Mushrooms.
Yes.
Yeah, waffles or
Hash browns.
Yeah.
I do all that though, but then I do want sort of fruit afterward.
Do you?
Yeah.
Would you rather do all that at home with a filthy hangover, or would you rather go down the calf?
Ooh, depends.
I don't want to cook. I want someone else troughing it.
Yeah, I would say Alex probably done most of that, blessed. But, or if it has to be a calf that I know and they do a nice cooked breakfast.
Okay, fine.
Because I hate it when, yeah, they don't do it right. I like these posh ones though, they do. A lot of cafes do one with a bit of halloumi, don't they? Stuff like that. Sorry, you can't have halloumi.
I can have whatever I bloody like. 5 second rule, yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Probably longer.
What's the most embarrassing thing you've let Hux eat?
Oh my gosh. I mean, just stuff off the floor.
Yeah, I've let, now I've said it to you, I've let Rudy pick. I think it's that piece of satsuma that must have been at least a fortnight old out the stair, the footwell of my car.
Oh, I can't think of one. I feel ashamed. I think there's probably been a couple of times just for peace.
Yeah.
That, yeah, if you're in the pub and the carpet and they've dropped something. And then it's because at home you just go, I've got a wooden floor, you know, I think, oh, it's fine. But then, of course, he thinks that's acceptable out, anyway. And I'm like, oh no.
At the end of a car journey, if I'm not looking, Rudy will kneel in the footwell underneath his car seat like Stig of the Dump. That has been brought up by wolves, just nibbling at all the crumbs down there. Here is your scenario. It's something I know we both care about. An MP finally gets to the finish line in terms of making a load of really incredible policy change and new laws for self-employed people, which will particularly benefit self-employed working mums, proper maternity and sick cover, and more flexible childcare, and more of that paid for, and more employers encouraged to give self-employed people flexible hours around their childcare, and to sometimes pay for it. But actually, that MP... is on their way to get all of this signed off and finalised, stops for a nap on a bench. A wagon full of bricks is hurtling towards them, and only you can stop it. You're the only one there. There's a wall that will come up and protect the MP, but it'll only rise up if you do a full lap of the whole sea. You do it! You're a hero! But you're very, very tired, obviously. You're pooped. You've swum around the whole sea. You're allowed a shower or whatever, but then it's time for your reward. The feast of your dreams! Nothing in your answer needs to be practical or real. I don't care about quantities unless that's relevant. I just want to know what you're eating, what you're drinking, who, with and where. And these people don't need to be people you could realistically have there. Whatever. You don't have to have anyone there.
It's always a hard one because you know when they say what you think of it, because I often play the, you know, what your death row meal be. That says a lot.
Well, that is the same question, but it's just I find that so miserable,
so
because
miserable.
You'd be so sad then, and I want this to be a time where you feel
much better.
Where you, whatever your situation, you feel deserving, starving, happy,
and that is when the meal tastes the best. Is when you feel like you really, that's good. That's a good scenario. Oh, it's so difficult because I want to say bits of lots of things.
Yeah, well, say them.
Well, chips have got to be there. Isn't that awful?
No.
A chip shop chips.
Why not? Yeah, what, big chunky ones?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Chip shop chips. But then it's hard because I do really love Italian food. So, like, bit of... Well,
pasta and chips. This is your dream meal,
In Asda. In Italy, they have sort of pasta for starter, don't they?
Yeah.
Just a little bit. So chips have got to be in there. Peas. Oh, come on.
Peas. Got some peas around the edge, please.
Definitely cheesecake for pudding.
Right.
But not
what sort of cheesecake?
Not the packet ones.
No.
New York style cheesecake. A bit of raspberry Kool-Aid type thing. What's that ice cream? I want to say Madagascar, but...
Yeah,
that is, isn't it? Drinks wise, it's so hard between white or red wine. I'm going to go red because I've got a bit of pasta there. Right. You know, I'm classy. And then there's got to be some amaretto there.
Oh, yummy.
God, it's really unhealthy, but that's all
I'd
right.
I'd really enjoy it. It's just...
You know what? Actually, I love a salad, so I wouldn't mind.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Really delicious.
What's in your delicious salad that you're having on the side?
I was going to say peas again. My friend would be a really nice salad with peas in once.
I love peas in the salad.
Spinach and just... I don't know. When people do sort of fancy salads, bits of chickpea and just... You can put mangoes nice in salad,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But I know people go, oh, yeah, you just want starting that. But actually, I do... I don't enjoy things much. I need that side. I'm the person who always gets a side salad.
Yeah. Do you like a nut and a salad?
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh my God. That's what you're eating. Nut rice salad.
What are you drinking? Or what?
Nut rice salad.
Nut rice salad.
Alex's mum introduced it to me, and I think I'd have to have a bowl of that as well. Oh. It's gorgeous.
Nut rye.
Nut rice. So rice with peanuts in and like a soya sauce.
Yum.
It's lovely.
Yum. Who are you having there? And where are you having this?
Looking over a sea. Mm. I don't know. I have anywhere in particular, but
could be Bali, could be Whitsun.
I'm thinking, you know, like Shirley Valentine type.
Yeah, fine. Greek island. Perhaps.
Yeah, let's have that. I have lovely memories of being in Cyprus as a child, so it could be somewhere there. You know, somewhere, but it's like those restaurants, you know, that table outside, you're looking over there. I don't know, but if I should be with my husband. Oh, God, and at the moment, obviously, I want to be with my mum.
Yeah.
If I could bring her back. Yeah, just all my sisters, my mum, my husband.
Oh. Would you let Hux come? You'd have all them there to help.
And yeah, I'd have to, he might ruin it.
You don't have to.
He can run a band and see.
Yeah.
Or my dad, I should have my dad back. Oh, wasn't that terrible? Yeah, mum and dad back. And anyone famous I'd like there? Not really. No, isn't that terrible?
No, that's good, my love.
Once upon a time, I would have liked Morrissey there, but he's upset me lately.
He's done things for himself, hasn't he? He's gone all gammon.
It's so upsetting. It really is awful. Like, for me, it's like such a first love.
You're a huge fan, weren't you?
It's like
I've got friends who've got tattoos and stuff, mate. Yeah. And now he's all saying...
Yeah.
Me Too movement's not a thing. Oh, mate.
It's God. I'm just sort of... I know it sounds awful, but I keep thinking, is it going to come out that he's got dementia or something?
Well, fingers crossed. It's awful.
I know.
Let's hope so. Let's hope that isn't the real you. Why don't you have Morrissey from the 90s?
Yeah, on the 80s, 80s, yeah. 90s.
Pluck him out of history and bring him...
Just the whole
bring
the Smiths, really. In.
Bring
the Smiths. Can play some music.
I feel like that doorbell ringing there is a sign...
What an end!
...that we've wrapped this show up. Thank you, my love.
Thank you!
What a fun, warm, funny soul my brilliant friend Hattie is. She's on Twitter and Insta as @HattieAshdown. But also she runs a brilliant set of clubs all over London and Kent called Screaming with Laughter for parents and babies to watch grown-up comedy in the daytimes. And she has a great radio show she hosts on Resonance FM called The Other Woman. I'm on all the socials @JessicaFosterQ and the podcast is @TheHoovering Pod. Follow us. Shout about the podcast. Thank you if you're already doing that. I'm not backed by any PR machine or even person, so your tooting about this show is the only way to grow it, and I'm so grateful for that. If you've got spare money to put towards it, go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and see what prizes you can get in exchange. If you'd like to email me something longer than a tweet, do it through my website, jessicafostercue.com. I love it so much when you get in touch. Rate and review the podcast, and yeah, my patrons, an extra thank you to you. You are our lifeblood. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham. The music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.